On this podcast, we're giving you the down low ahead of the newest series of Clarkson's Farm. What will happen to the cows is unsure after the various obstacles that the farm shop and the newly opened restaurant have faced. Caleb and Jeremy have split the business to challenge which farming system is more profitable, to show the changes that this government are inflicting upon UK farming practices. I'm Ellie Layton from the FG Livestock team, and last week I made the trip to Chipping Norton to the Amazon Prime press day at Diddley Squat. The morning involved a shop tour from Lisa and a guided tour and a pint with Caleb, as well as a Q&A with Straight Talking Jeremy. While the afternoon saw a tractor ride with Yokel Gerald, who is a bit easier to understand in person, as well as discussing the intricate farm details with Cheerful Charlie and Dilwyn the vet, while also getting a sneak peek at the new pigs and goats on the farm. So here is the down low on Series 3 and a Q&A with the duo that has stole the hearts of the nation, Jeremy Clarkson and Caleb Cooper. Make sure you subscribe to the FG podcast so you don't miss out on your weekly dose of all things farming. Hope you enjoy.
Please put your hands together for Mr. Jeremy Clarkson.
That's bad when the applause doesn't even...
No, you keep hating it.
Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Oh, welcome to Diddley Squat.
What a wonderful day. The sun's breaking through.
I know. It might even be a nice afternoon. We shall see.
We'll be bringing on... one of your friends in just a second, but before we get there, just have a little chat to you. We're now in the third season. Season one was very much the origin story.
Yeah.
Season two was you sticking it to the man, or you versus the man.
Yeah.
What would you say season three's kind of running theme is?
It's me against the man, actually.
Again.
Season three, but the man this time isn't West Oxfordshire District Council, it's Caleb. Because I had this idea that the farm is 1,000 acres, which is, you know, a sort of average to large size farm, but we actually only farm 500 acres of it, you know, the fields that you can see here, and 500 acres is sort of wildflower meadows and woods and streams and things of that nature. So I thought, I wonder if you can make any money out of farming bits of the farm that aren't farmed. So I had a competition with Caleb. I said, you do your farming, you do your wheat and your barley and your oilseed rape, and I'll do little bits and bobs in the woods and in the meadows and see what I can earn. And I lost. Not to put too fine a point on it, but no, it was a fun competition. It ran for all year. But what we really did it for was to highlight the enormous cost that farmers face just to try and get food out of the ground. So ordinarily, you'd probably spend on the farm like this £40,000 in seed and fertilizer and slug pellets and you know, all of the various diesel and all of the various things you need to grow food. Well, last year here it was £108,000 we had to spend. Now it's a bit like if you go to a casino and it's a £2 minimum bet, you can have fun with your mates, you know, you've got £2 here, £2 on the roulette table. What? If they make it a £500 minimum bet, you're not going to do it, it's too risky. And farming's getting to that point where it's too risky, really. You just sit and go, oh God, if I invest 108,000 and then the weather's bad, I've lost the lot. You know, so it's that's really why we did it. And I hope it worked well. Hope farmers enjoy it anyway.
Has it made you more, has having the farm and doing this made you more politicised in the sense, or climate aware?
Politicised, no. I mean, the simple fact of the matter is, doesn't matter who's in number 10, nothing will change, ever. That's just a fact. Climate aware, well, it's certainly been a bit potty the last 4 years,
yeah.
That's for sure. It's every single month seems to set another record. I mean, we're sitting here now. Well, it's pretty much May, and you've got a blanket on your knees. You know, you're wearing a cagoule to match your wellies, I see, very snazzily done. And I've got a jumper on, you know, so this is very cold. Last May was incredibly cold. And the rainfall since October the 18th has been simply incredible. So, the climate is, well, let's say the weather is certainly misbehaving at the moment.
And we watched episodes 3 and 4 last night. Everyone had been sent screens for 1 and 2.
Who had a bacon sandwich this morning?
All of them. Everyone sat there with their sausages and their bacon this morning. We were eating last night. We were quite a jolly joke for Lisa to walk in back with some pork, but sadly that didn't happen. But it's a very emotional season. We get to see the softer side as well. Was that intentional, or was it a reluctant tug?
No, you don't say, let's bust some pigs and hope they die. I've always liked pigs. My mother used to buy me toy pigs, you know, every Christmas and birthday when I was actually, until I was in my 20s. A huge collection of them. I've always been fond of pigs, and I thought it'd be fun to have them. And then they've just died in alarming numbers, and it was very heartbreaking. I've never, ever seen Lisa cry. Not once ever, until that all started unfolding. It was just terrible. I mean, they still die, but we're getting more used to it now. We're a bit more, you know,
robust.
Yeah, robust. I was trying to think of a word that wouldn't get me in trouble. You know what I mean? Anyway, but yes, we're a bit stronger at dealing with it now. But it was a very heartbreaking time there. When was it? Last March. Yeah.
The farmer's paradox, as you call it in this season, must be like, as a viewer, just like heartbreaking to watch and deal with. Are you getting tougher, and is it something you always knew?
It is weird when you go down and you see. I like the cows as well. I think they're tremendous. And we've got a few of the goats here. Most of them are down at the farm, but we brought a few up for you this morning to have a look at. And I'm very fond of those. And then you do. I mean, Caleb keeps saying, "Kill the goats. Go on, kill them. You can sell them. We can eat them." But I actually thought, no, I want to keep them as lawnmowers because I like them. But the pigs, you have to sell them. Otherwise, nobody would keep pigs if you didn't eat them.
They get massive.
They get massive, and they die. I mean, there would be no cows or pigs in the country if people didn't eat them. So, I've always said that about giant pandas. You want to save the panda, start eating it. And then farmers will quickly go, I know how we can get this lot breeding. In order to have the animals, you have to eat them at the correct time. And it is weird, because you love them, and you give birth to them, and you nurture them, and you feed them, and you take care of them, and you get the vet round when they're poorly, and then you kill them and eat them. And it is a strange place to be when you haven't been a farmer all your life. But we are getting better at it. We definitely are.
And as a viewer, like, I've loved the show right from the office, and as like obviously hundreds of millions of people have as well. How much of it is planned? Are there times when, you know, you have to stop filming, where you go and fetch Charlie to come and give you a bollocking?
No. It just doesn't work like that. I read a piece in the Sunday Times recently saying a farmer had said that it would never happen that a tractor would do a wheelie and that you'd put Caleb in the weight box, which we did in season two. But it did happen. And Caleb is around somewhere. He'll tell you it did happen. And when I'm making whatever I'm making, be it mustard or jam or what have you, Charlie drops into the farm probably once, maybe twice a day. So, no, you never have to ring up. Everything that happens, it's genuine reality television. But it's not hosted by somebody in purple spectacles with a zany jacket. You know, it's absolutely real. What you see actually happens, and none of it's planned. I mean, the Grand Tour, everything was planned. Literally everything, you know. Richard, move your eyebrow that much. Nothing is planned on this. Nothing. I have no script. And every single day when we meet to do filming, every day, we'll have a vague idea of what we need to do. Like, I need to redrill this field. We're doing season four now. So I need to redrill that field because I did it wrong the first time, and I need to do this and I need to do that. So we'll meet on, actually tomorrow, to do that. And I can guarantee we'll end up doing something completely different because the weather will have changed or some fence will have fallen down or whatever it might be. And you never, ever know what you're going to do in farming. Never.
Must be terrifying as a program maker.
Well, not really. As long as you get content, it doesn't really matter what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, look, you guys, you'll probably be at the launch of a scent or a scarf tomorrow, and it's still content.
This is true. Hashtag content. Mm. Should we bring in your partner in crime?
As Caleb, ITV, where's Caleb? As ITV called him yesterday, Britain's biggest penis. I don't think anybody saw that. Here he is, ladies and gentlemen.
Because it is Britain's
biggest. Hello, everybody.
Is or has. The two, yeah.
Remains to be seen.
Are you, Caleb? Side. I'm very good. How are you?
Very good. You know, we've all watched your meteoric rise from a wet behind the ears farmer to one of the biggest celebrities in Britain now. How how has that transition been for you? Because you still class yourself as, do you class yourself as a farmer or a celeb now?
Still very much a farmer. I spend every day on the farm. Apart from going on tour every now and then, which I don't think will happen for a very long time because I miss the farm too much.
Yeah.
I may have missed this man right here. Who knows?
How do you keep grounded though? Because there has been such a change to your life. Does Jeremy help you with that? Has he offered you any advice?
I go and spend 18 hours in a tractor on my own and just don't talk to anybody. It's amazing. It's the best thing in the world, eh? Really.
Yeah.
And then of course we talk all the time. And he got a little bit of advice for me, and I've got a little bit of advice for him. So that's why it works very well, I think.
I think it's very easy to be grounded if you don't leave Chipping Norton.
Yeah,
I mean, everybody, if you walk down the streets of Chipping Norton with Caleb, everybody knows him, and they've always known him ever since he was two when he was selling them eggs. So you don't really see a change because it's not like you're trying to get a table at the Ivy, if you know what I mean.
Where is that?
Yeah, exactly. You didn't really know what the Ivy was. So his life is exactly the same, really, actually,
yeah,
as
nothing
it ever was.
Really changed. Nothing at all really changed, actually.
Yeah. And your relationship, the pair of you, has blossomed into one of the loveliest in television, I think. I think it's really, really good to watch. Jeremy, you almost in this season start taking advice willingly from Caleb rather than reluctantly.
No, I've always taken advice from him. I think the difference is when it comes to... Oh, God, I'm trying to think what aspect of farming I've picked up. But that's really the change.
Yeah, that's a question for
you. He tells me to do something I didn't used to be able to do it at all. Now I can do it a bit, but not. I still can't hitch up a trailer.
That is quite annoying. I still have to do that for you.
So it isn't as though my attitude has changed. It's just I've picked up a few things.
Yeah.
I just can't think what any of those things are.
I can name a few things, actually. I can be nice for once. I mean, I've always said this. I think from the start, when we first got picked in this season, at the start, I didn't think, oh, here we go, another thing I've got to babysit you looking after. And actually, it's one thing on the farm that I can leave you do, and you do a really good job at it. He's actually a really good pig farmer, with.
They all saw the pig scene last night. There might be some argument.
It may get better.
Jeremy mentioned the competition between the unfarmable and you being promoted to farm manager?
Yeah, I got the promotion of farm manager. Yeah. I'm sure I was farm manager for about 5 years, but on paper it was last year apparently. But I think it was a really good idea, especially the competition that we had. I mean, I think you put anybody together and say, right, you're going to compete against your friend here. And then, I go straight away, I want to win. And then you go, I want to win.
Yeah.
But what really the competition does is it highlights how much money you have to put in as a farmer to actually then produce food for people on their tables.
There was a stat. Do you mind if I get a bit boring on farming? Isn't boring. Well, not if you're a farmer. I'll give you a stat that I worked out just yesterday. So in order to grow, well, actually, no, not in order to grow. When I grow or we grow wheat, okay, we get 25 pence for a kilo of wheat that we produce. Now, a kilo of wheat is enough to make one loaf of bread, okay? So we're getting 25 pence. You're paying £1.40 in the supermarket. What's happening there? We're taking all the risk. We're the ones who are planting the seed, fertilizing it, spending a fortune, working through the night, praying that the weather doesn't misbehave and it makes milling quality, otherwise it's just animal feed. We have that risk and we get 25 pence. Supermarkets are charging £1. Now, come on, making flour, you just put the thing and grind it up. That's not difficult. Making bread, they make TV shows about that. It's fun. It's easy making bread. David Cameron's got a bread oven. You know, people can make that for nothing. So why are supermarkets charging £1.40?
It is nuts.
It's nuts, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's where farming's at these days. And those prices are set in Chicago. Well, Charlie will tell me now, isn't it? Detroit or somewhere. But anyway, it's not. We don't set the point. We don't choose how much we get. They say, this is how much you get for wheat at the moment.
We need a twat.
Who's a twat?
Who is a person making...
That's Charlie.
No, not Charlie. Charlie.
Very well, the man in Chicago is a twat. You heard it here first.
Well, he is.
I think it is Chicago. Is it Chicago, Charlie? You said it is. He's giving me the thumbs up.
Oh,
no. He said, I got that right. You see, there's a bit of farming knowledge. It's somebody in Chicago. We've all seen trading places. It's that. This is the price of wheat. You're going to get 25 pence for a kilo of wheat. What? What? It's ridiculous.
And that's something you guys do really well. And like, as you said, Caleb, that highlights it. But the intricacies and the difficulties of the farming community. And that, in essence, is the message that runs through every single season. And there's loads of press from the farming community here now. They completely on side. They must be overjoyed at the level of attention you brought to the difficulties of farming in the UK.
I think so. I mean, while I love the trailer for season three, it does slightly give the impression it's become hobby farming, which we've tried to avoid. I mean, Caleb's pathological. We're not. Oh, look at this little lamb we've reared on this fresh straw, and yeah. Look at these little hens, aren't they pretty? He's very keen that we show farming, proper farming, yeah. And we do show proper farming. So don't be fooled into thinking that because the trailer shows me hoovering blackberries off a thing, that it's some...
That is something I'm never going to forget. Driving on the drive and you just hoovering ahead. I didn't even stop. You know,
I had the idea at 4 a.m, and it works.
It did work.
But no, it's not hobby farming. You still see, I mean, the vast majority of the show is about how big farming, proper farming. I mean, if you look around, it's a farm. It's not, you know, a little 20 acres or something.
It's not a petting zoo, yeah.
Exactly right. It's not a petting zoo, is it?
Well, you've still got the goats.
Yes.
We should eat them.
I don't think you've seen the episode yet.
No, there's a business mind. There's a business mind on my head. What it is, so basically he's got 29 boy goats, yeah? So therefore they don't produce milk or anything like that. The only thing they're good for really is producing meat. So therefore, as a business mind, hear me out. You take them to slaughter, cut them up, put them in the farm shop and sell them, and then you buy 20, 30 maybe, yeah, female goats, and you breed them, and then what happens? You get more goats and then put through the shop, and therefore you're making a bit of money.
But, because they're boy goats, they only cost a tenner.
No, they didn't cost a tenner.
They didn't cost a tenner. I'm from Yorkshire, that sort of thing matters.
No, yeah, you bought them for a tenner, you've got to rear them, which is going to cost you £15 each in terms of milk powder and labour.
Yeah.
Yeah, so therefore, actually, you're at, what, £25 each?
Yeah.
Then you've got to feed them.
Yeah.
Yeah, to get them to an hour, say, what are they costing you? 20p a day in food each?
Well, they've got lovely eyes.
They look like sheep, don't they, Nef?
I was going to wear...
And if I may know, the real reason is I have this machine in season three called a Robo-Mulcher, yellow...
That's an amazing piece of kit.
Unbelievable. But there are one or two bits of the farm it can't get to. It's too steep and too inaccessible. So that's what I thought. I know, I shall get goats, and they will do the mowing down that, and we'll create, probably, another 10 acres of farmable land.
For the farm manager to make money from.
Exactly.
That's not a bad
idea.
This
is the sort of thing that happens over breakfast every single morning.
But you can do that with 30 female goats that are in kit to baby goats.
I'm going to end the goat discourse.
Anyway,
it won't end just because you've ended it.
That doesn't know how it works.
That Mulcher is a great piece. You described it as a destroyer of worlds.
It is a destroyer of worlds.
It's like your therapy machine, isn't it?
It was. It was an emotional support machine, like a dog.
He went missing for about 2 weeks. I thought, where is he? He's just on that little robo thing. Mulching
away.
Yeah,
it was brilliant.
I was going to talk about the team effort that you guys seems to have this year. All of you have kind of found your roles within the farm. And obviously there was the competition. So Jeremy, you're off hoovering blackberries. Caleb, you're actually like managing the arable side of things. But then, you know, Lisa has kind of like grown into like becoming this tour de force in the shop, even though half it was contraband. And there's, Gerald and Charlie as well. Everyone's kind of got their role now, haven't they?
Yeah.
Is that something that's taken time, or was there a bit of jostling, or was it all pretty relaxed?
I think that's a good thing. I think that's how a farm works. I think at the start, when you put a team together, I mean, I've been working here for 8 years now, but I think when you put a team together, you've got to find your roles. And I think now, I'll probably say we have found the role, and everyone's got that specific role that they go and do on a day-to-day basis. And all of a sudden, teamwork happens, and you all combine together to get a job done in the end. So if Lisa needs a hand up here, we all come up here and help Lisa. Or if Jeremy needs a hand doing whatever he's doing, hoovering hedges, we'll go and help him do that. Or if I'm out there actually making some money on the farm, we'll go and help each other do that. So yeah. I think as a team, we're actually a good team, even though Lisa and I probably do the majority of work as well as Charlie and Gerald. I mean, let's face it, and Jeremy's here.
You wait till you get Henry Hoover on your blackberry hedges and change your life.
Honestly, that is something I'm never going to forget. Come on, drive to work in the morning, you're just hoovering a hedge. I was like, you know what, I haven't got the energy to actually stop and ask him what he's doing.
I could not believe it worked, but there we are.
You
know what it's like with you? Has anyone been blackberrying?
He's going to defend us.
You know, and the hours and hours and hours, you've got a calendar or something with you, and you put it in, and and your hours and hours, you've lacerated your hands, and you look down, and you've got like six. And it's just the unwise, that's just not enough. So the Henry Hoover, it's just amazing. It's got all of them.
I like the idea. I mean, I like the idea of farming the unfarmed. I think, you know, in terms of farm, the average size of a farm in the UK, that's your 125 acres. Now, is all that always farmed? Probably not. By the time you take the woodland out and the hedgerows. So actually, I think it's a really good idea. I mean, a wicked idea for you.
No, I mean, the woods. We've got the pigs in the woods, as I think you'll see later on. And you'll also see as we drive down the wildflower meadows here, which are
quite amazing.
They're very special in southern England.
We could spray them on.
There's 250 acres of wildflower meadows, which started about 2 weeks ago being dark yellow when the dandelions came, and they're now pale yellow because the cowslips. In a couple of weeks, they'll go blue when the cornflowers come, and then they'll go white when the dog daisies arrive. So you're seeing them. If the sun comes out today, they're very special. And you get zero money for them. So we've got 250 acres purely for the bees. Actually, it's not true to say zero money. There's farm journalists here know full well that the payments from the government's just gone from 100 to £240 an acre. But nevertheless, you can't earn money from them, let's put it that way.
Yeah. It would be, you know, obviously everyone watched episode 4 last night. Let's talk about pigs. It was you've got two dogs called Sansa and Arya, and you've got your own Red Wedding. Red Wedding from Game of Thrones, like the most devastating episode of television. You were up to that with episode 4 of.
It was horrific. Yeah, I mean, yes, that episode 4 was the Red Wedding. But we do have Sansa and Arya. Yeah.
They're like proper posh man's dogs.
What?
don't listen to a word you say.
Yeah, no, I mean, you've got a fox red lab.
Yeah, and mine listens to me.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. Where's the argument going?
You lock it in the tractor.
No, I don't. Lock him in the tractor. He sits in the tractor willingly.
With the door shut.
Yeah.
Just let me out of the tractor.
He likes it in there.
Oh, I'll just run around. You'll see, actually. I don't think you will have noticed.
No, don't bring them out, please.
No, I'm not going to bring them out. That would be impossible. But they're a very funny running joke, those two dogs. They really are.
They're the naughtiest dogs I've ever met in my life.
Yeah.
Do you regret the pig? Do you regret getting the pigs involved? Did you regret buying them? Has it now evolved into something that's working for you? How's it all going?
Well, we had a bit of a calamity again the other day, but by and large, they're going quite well. I made an invention which has improved the mortality rate.
Oh yes, of course. I don't know if we can talk about that yet, but that was bad.
Yeah, but I mean that comes in. That's season 4.
I hope you get a cut of that.
No. I mean, they're really nice lads, pig farmers. So I said, why don't we do this? And then they did it. And then I said, you have the patent, you know, because to be honest, other farmers need, and I get one, we can give it to them. So that's good.
It reduced the mortality rate,
but
it didn't improve it.
Yeah, that's what
important distinction.
You know when you were saying, do we panic when Charlie arrives on the scene?
Give me a bollocking. Did he call it Mr. No, No, No?
Yeah, and here he is. Straight away, I think you'll find it reduces rather than improves. Yeah, corrected on my English there. Thank you, Charlie. Wait till I do maths.
And what's the plan? How has it all gone? You know, what would you say to the people watching, who've only seen the first 4 episodes? How did the following 4 transpire? Where do we end up? What are we allowed to say?
Well, it'll be a nice surprise for you.
Yeah.
I watched the final 4 last night because I saw that first goal going against Chelsea and turned it off.
Was it 5-0, wasn't it?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it was 5-0, wasn't it?
Yeah, let's just remember the last time Chelsea played Man U. You lost in the final 2 minutes.
Weather's lovely today, isn't it?
No, so I watched the final 4 last night. I won't spoil it for you. Yeah. It's lovely. I think it's a very, very heartwarming programme. I think it ticks every single box television should tick.
Yeah.
It's funny, it's informative, it's charming, and it's heartwarming. It's a very nice way of spending your time is watching that show, I think.
You must sit down in the evening and just count your blessings, really, this like amazing show. You know, it really is one of the best shows on TV. And it feels quite effortless, even though I'm sure, you know, it's not effortless at all.
No, it is, because I don't have to pretend to be someone else.
But that's what I mean. It's just like, it's an absolute...
See, the Grand Tour, Richard Hammond isn't as stupid as it's made out. And I'm not as bombastic as it's made out. And James May is quite as boring as he's made out. And so you're playing a caricature, you're playing a role, you know, you're there to provoke and, you know, be stupid. Here, we haven't got any of that. So we're just ourselves. You know, we are just, you get up and you just have to be yourself.
Yeah.
Which is incredibly relaxing, and in that regard, it is effortless.
Yeah.
I mean, farming's not effortless, make no mistake.
I think we've learned.
But
we've
the
learned.
Television side of it is a piece of cake, because you just, I don't have to think, well, I'm going to say something idiotic now. You just get on and do
what. You do that anyway, just.
You set them up. Listen, Caleb and Jeremy, thank you so much for joining us. Everybody,
that's all from me, Ellie Layton, and the team at Diddley Squat Farm. Thanks for listening.